Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
So at that time of the morning where we join our very own Councillor Ahmad Farak on his segment, The Straight Talk with Ahmad Farak. Councillor Ahmad Farak is, he's watching the comrades, but he's going to give us a direct and live broadcast from the venue. But it's going to be straight talk, people. He won't be saying, hey, now Bruce Fordyce overtook Mark Williams and Mark Williams overtook Sean Bartlett. No, he won't be talking about that. But it'll be straight talk and kafan dafan. Ahmad Farak, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning, Ahmad?
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alan and salam to all our radio listeners. Alhamdulillah, what a beautiful Sunday morning. The hype and the buzz in Durban, there is not a single accommodation in the last 2-3 days in this city. If you take one hotel, only the Pavilion, 400 visitors are here from India, and there's about 320 something Indians from India are taking running in this comrade as well. So there's a big hype there. I was there this morning, yesterday, setting up for our action SA gazebos and all. I finished there, just came here home just to come and catch up with our radio program. Everything you can see, everybody set up for this morning, and alhamdulillah, you know, it's one of the biggest events in this country, in this city, that we have been hosting for many, many years, Shafat.
Now, you know, you look at the logistics of, you know, hosting so many people in Itikweni, and suddenly people tell you, but Ahmad, suddenly the load shedding is gone and all this is gone. Because they're accommodating for the visitors that have come through, and they're giving that that picture that everything is cozy at the posy. How you respond to that, Ahmad?
Shafat, yesterday they had load sharing. They're supposed to have 2 hours. Now you see, last night there was only, instead of 2 hours, they only had 1 hour load sharing. So, and we bought another 70 megawatts from Maputo. That is making a big difference to our grid. This is a ploy, you know. They will do everything in their power to show a cleaner picture to the world, to say that, you know what, yes, we got problem, but we're working on it, and this is what we did. So we have reduced it from 4 hours to 8 hours, from 8 hours to 4 hours. Now we reduce it to 3 hours. So, you know, this is all a ploy. This is ANC. So this is what they do. They only show you the good part, and the bad part, they will leave it out. They put a cover to that, Shafat.
Good point indeed. And Kafan Dafan, what's the latest there, Ahmad?
You know, there's a big hype in the country because of load sharing. There's 900 bodies in the country that is unclaimed bodies. Some of the fridges are not working. Some of the forensic facilities do not have generators. Fortunately, in Durban, because we've been at it, you know, I've been at it from a very, very long time, for the last 2-3 years, making sure that anytime if there is any unclaimed bodies within the prescribed period of 30 days, they must do something about it and give it to the undertaker to bury it quick as possible. So these are non-Muslim bodies I'm talking about. And we've been keeping a very tight clamp on that, because we came out from last year, the beginning of last year. We had bodies from 2017 right up to end of 2022. So that's what we made sure that in our facilities in Durban and surrounding, there was no more bodies like what we had from 2017 to 2022. We just got the current bodies, which has to be identified. But the other provinces and all, they have got massive problems. They have got fridges are not working. They do not have generator. This load sharing is causing a bigger problem. Bacteria levels have been gone up drastically in some of the mortuaries. Some of the workers have been booked up for a couple of months because of they picked up infections from the odor from the decomposition of bodies. So there's a problem there. So the Department of Health is looking at it, which is the best way to solve this problem. And the biggest problem they have at the moment, they do not have the facility in Pretoria to do the DNA. So that is a big issue. That's where the delay is coming through. In fact, you'll find a lot of these lawyers are also jumping because they want to wind up the estate, and they cannot do anything because they haven't got the document. The master has not given them the consent to wind up the estate because there's no DNA and some of the information that they require to wind up estate. So this is the problem that we are faced with, but there's nothing we can do. We just have to do what we can. And we are chasing Pretoria to give DNA quick as possible so that they will be able to release these bodies quick as possible so the undertaker can do the burial accordingly.
Looking at the question on the screen, he says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Tariq. I really enjoy you on Straight Talk. A great show indeed. On Kafan Dafan, I hear many of these Egyptians and also, I believe, a lot of the expats from other countries are moving bodies around. How much does it cost for bodies being embalmed and sent from South Africa to Egypt or Pakistan? Please, Ahmed, let me know, because these guys got a lot of money to send their bodies overseas. Ahmed, how do you respond to that, brother?
But first and foremost, if you're sending a body to, I'm talking about Pakistan now, or Bangladesh, or one of the Indian countries, India, or wherever you're sending, you're looking at anything because of the flight prices, and now it's also peak. You're looking from 22 to 27,500 just a body. Then you need to take into account in terms of the legislation, Department of Health, you have to have a coffin. A coffin is in the region of about under 1,000 rand, it's about 750. Then for embalming, it's about another 1,000 rand. Then you do all the embalming, then you have to have the coffin must be synchronized, meaning there's no air must be able to get in there. Once that body is embalmed, it must be sealed properly. There's a certificate from the Department of Health has to be issued that this body has got no defects or no infected disease or anything. So you cannot take this body from A point to B point, take it from Durban to Pakistan, and it's got bacteria or anything. The people on the other side will get affected. So therefore, they make sure that there must be an infected certificate being given by the Department of Health to say that we are shipping this body. We have embalmed it. We have put it in a synchronized coffin. There is no defects or anything like that. Based on that, then only when you do that, then only the airline will accept the body to be shipped. Other than that, they will not accept it. So this is the procedure it's been sent. Now, the question that a lot of people ask, there's so many of Muslim graveyard here. Yeah, why do we have to send it? The Sharia law is, they say you bury quick as possible and bury wherever you are. You take Molana Ahmed Chuan's son passed away in Kimberley. He went down there and he buried his son. He was a Hafiz Sahib. He buried his son there. He didn't bring it to Durban yet. He's a alim of the masjid in Durban, yeah, but he buried in Kimberley. So a lot of our alims, the rule is that you bury quick as possible where you have passed away, bury there, and you don't have to ship it. Don't make the cliff for the marhum. That's what we are saying, Shoma.
Good point indeed, Ahmed, and alhamdulillah. As you said, I mean, the embalming is only done by Adlam and Dove, I think, or are more people in it, Ahmed?
Shafat, previously, we used to, whenever we had bodies, we used to give it to Singh of Funeral Services to do our embalming. Then Dove used to do it, and then the other organizations used to do it. But when I was in power, we made sure we sent some of our members from our burial societies. They went and got a certification on how to do embalming. Now, if you take Iqbal, you take Salim, and all these guys, I know how to do the embalming. They do the embalming themselves, and then we're shipping it down to. So there's a big cost factor that we are saving to send the bodies to Pakistan or wherever internationally.
Well, Ahmed, next time, you know, when you're doing an embalming, perhaps, you know, you can give me a call and I'd like to join you because, you know, a graphic description and, you know, maybe you can do some voice recording or something. You game, Ahmed?
Inshallah, there's no problem like that. In fact, What I want to do is, Shafat, if you said game, I heard the name game. So what you must do is, if you can get me 10 guys to me, tell me which day, I will take you either to Pinetown Mortuary or Phoenix or Park Rainy. We will show you how they're doing a body post-mortem from A to Z, what is required, how they do things and all. I think previously, 15 years ago, I took Molana Bank, Mufti Bayat, I took a whole lot of alims to the Gale Street Mortuary when the Gale Street Mortuary was open. And I took about 20 of them. And we did Professor Steve Naidu, who was the head of the Gale Street Mortuary at that time. We did one post-mortem showing them how we cut, how we open the skull, how we took out all the body parts, how we weigh the body parts, how we do the stitching, everything. And then after that, I also prepared for them. My offices were around the corner from the Gale Street Mortuary. I prepared for them some snacks and cold drinks and tea and all that. From the 20 of them, only 2 of them came. The 18 of them, they went away home, and some of them were actually bringing up. And Mufti Saab, I think, maybe used about 3 or 4 bottles of attar on that, because you get an odor when you drink post mortem. They put a gown, we put a mask, we put goggles, everything. For me, it was nothing because I'm used to it, and for me, it was okay. I came back, I had there were samosas, bhajias, and whatever we had. I got a nakka chow, I had no problem with that. But the rest of them, they couldn't. Shafat, the earthquake that took place in Gauteng, and it also shook part of Pretoria. I heard this morning, I had 1 or 2 friends phone me this morning as well. It was, but no major damages or anything, no lives were lost or anything, but it was a very, very, apparently I heard it was a very, very severe earthquake that took place. Then in Pakistan, that killing is, this killing is not going to stop there in Pakistan, because they want a regime change there as well. Then obviously in Israel, the protest for the last, I think, 6 to 8 months is taking place, and they want a government change in Israel as well. So things are hotting up in both of these, Pakistan as well as in Israel. And so I think they're keeping the momentum up in terms of protest there in Israel as well. We lost in the last month or so, 102 Palestinians were killed. Now this is a very worrying factor. Now they're talking about Ukraine and Russia, when the whole world is jumping. What about for the last decade? How long our people are suffering there in Palestine, and people are dying there, but no United Nations, no Americans, nobody is jumping for that. Now, in fact, America and the UK and everyone else is supporting Ukraine with the military equipment and everything else. So now this is, the playing fields are not level. And this is a problem that we face in the world, that, they're one-sided still. So, it's a problem that I hope the United Nations take heed of it itself, and maybe in the BRICS summit here, something will happen here. There will be new government order in the world as well.
Yeah, you talk about the BRICS summit. What's the latest with the CR visiting Putin? Any inside information, Ahmed?
It's about Putin will come here. You will stay here. You will have field day here. He will have his bodyguard, everything here. Nobody will touch him. He'll go back from here in his own place, back to his country. Nobody's going to touch him, because at the end of the day, there's a gray area in the constitution that they cannot arrest him here. And that's why you see, so in fact, that's the reason our President Ramaphosa is leaving tomorrow to go and meet him on the pretext of going to solve the problem of Ukraine and Russia. When there's a problem, we got massive problems here in South Africa in terms of electricity, water, sanitation, and all the issues. But he wants to go there to solve somebody else's problem when he cannot solve our own problem yet. We'll see what happens from there, Shafat.
Now, well said, Ahmed. As you say, you can't solve the problem at home. but you want to go and show the world, hey, look at me, I'm the Don, and I can do that. Well, we notice that the Security and Emergency Services Committee, led by Deputy Mayor Councillor Zandile Mayeni, yesterday she inspected the traffic congestion around Umlazi megacity during peak time. She wants to sort the traffic out instead of, you know, getting service delivery done. What's your thoughts on that, Ahmad?
Shafad, you know something. In government, I learned over the years as well that, you know, what they do is if there's a problem with electricity, light, water, electricity, your lights, water, sewage, your potholes and everything, they always shift the focus. They will do something to shift the focus that they say, this is what we are doing, this is what we are. The idea is behind this is to take the pressure away from this and put it into something else. That's what they do. This is how government works, actually. And this is 9 out of 10 got nothing to do with in Umlazi, where you're in a sort of traffic problem out. When you've got massive problem here in your own city, you can't get it right, and you're going to Umlazi there to go and sort the traffic issue out. The traffic issue is it has been there for so many years. Sort out the problem that is urgently needed there. Sort out the potholes. Sort out things that what is urgently needed in this city, in Umlazi, Mashu, all over. They cannot do that, but they're going to sort out a simple thing of traffic congestion and all of that. That's not called for at the moment. They're trying to just bluff the people and shift the problem away. And the other most important thing, from Ramaphosa's office under Section 154, they appointed 3 people, including as a consultant, Mike Silcliffe, he's been appointed as the to oversee to the city and sort the province out there. That is a ploy. If you only read in between the lines, the province, the 22 municipality is under administration as we speak. In the city, we got 9.4 million rand is being put into investment, and we are keeping a very close eyes on that so they do not touch that to move it out from there to put it into something else. In a month's time, we will get 65 billion for our working capital in the city to sort everything out. We had 55 billion, of which we lost about a billion rand was taken back to the province when they gave us grant in aid for housing, and there's a whole lot of things they gave us to say for the floods and all that. Put your province right. There's the money from national government we're giving you. They didn't know what to do with it. The money's gone back to national. We're not going to get that money. So this is how what they do. They don't have a plan. Listen to what I'm going to tell you, Shafad. We took Action SA took the municipality to court for the non-delivery in terms of our constitution for Rosu, that which is going into the rivers, which is going into the river and to our seas, and is also going into our storm water. The problem here, when we issued summons to them, they defended. Then they said to us, they want to talk to us. So our delegation, our advocate, met with them, and we said, okay, fine, what do you all want? He said, no, what you do is withdraw this court application. This is what we're doing. We don't have money now, but we will get money in due course. We said to them, well, you're going to get money in due course, but you know, you called us here today for a meeting, but you're not giving us timeline when it will be done. We are prepared to give you an undertaking that we will withdraw, but officially we're not going to withdraw now, but give us in writing in an affidavit form that you will abide by it by sorting all the sewage issue within a prescribed time. We are prepared to accept it. They said, no, we cannot do that. So we walked out. Then they called us again. They say, okay, fine. We have now, national assistance us, given us some monies to fix the Rosu, which is going into the rivers in the sea. we got the money. We said, okay, fine. You got the money. It is in the account. We got no problem. Fine. So when are you going to implement the work? So we asked them, give us a plan. How this thing is going, the money is going to be spent, and when you're going to start, and what is the time frame, the whole infrastructure for the ROSU will be sorted out. They said, now we got the money, but we don't have a plan. Shafat, how can you put the cart before the horse? First, you should have had the plan, and then ask national government, speak. We need 8 billion or 10 billion to fix the whole city and this problem with the ROSU. Now, this is it. So we told them, no, we're not withdrawing. And we went ahead last Monday. On Monday, we put our replying affidavit. We said, you know what? Now we have come to the stage. You now let the judge decide and get an order, get a judgment against the city. And the judge must prescribe to us in his judgment. He's giving the city 90 days or 120 days or whatever it is. And it must be a court order. Once a court order is being put in place, then we can hold them for contempt if they don't do their work. That's what we are saying.
Brilliant indeed. And you know, as you said, they are putting the cart before the horse. They don't have the plans. I mean, they're just thinking, hey, how are we going to pocket the money? And so forth. You know the story of what's going on here. Looking at a message from Musa. Musa Bhai says, Assalamu alaikum. I got some information for you, Ahmed and Shaf. Police forces raided the Dalton Hostel in Durban at around 2 a.m. in a campaign to collect illegal firearms and arrest those in possession. The raid is always being taking place in this Dalton area and also in the Point area. But I want to tell Ahmed Farak, come and check up all the suburbs. A lot of these illegal firearms are here, and a lot of illegal workers are here also. They are Mozambicans, they are Malawians, they are Nigerians, they are also Bangladeshis and others that are illegally doing illegal things, but we are harboring them in our suburbs. Please, Ahmed Farak, man of action, please, you know what I'm talking about. I am crying as a Muslim brother to a fellow Muslim. How do you respond to Musa Bhai there, Ahmed?
Tell Musa Bhai what he just saw today or last night and more to come. We have come to a stage we are tired with the Minister of Police. We are tired. We took this thing to national government. We said we want a task team, which they have assigned a task team. We said we want the best of best from countrywide to be put in this province here and clean it up. Illegal citizens, illegal firearms. There's a whole host of stolen vehicles. How he's leaving South Africa and he's going out of our country. All that, there are a whole lot of syndicates. And you'll find in the last week, in one of the locations, we have smashed completely with new model vehicles, 22, 23 model vehicles were stripped, and all these parts and engines, everything was ready to be shipped from here to the neighboring countries and all that. All that has been busted now. So because now we are monitoring what we want from the special task team, and this is what is happening now. Because we are tired now. So at the end of the day, we're talking, there's no action. We want action now. We want to say that to the community, to the people of South Africa, action is say we want to fix South Africa. To fix South Africa, you have to, the government is duty-bound to answer to the community because we are paying rates and we are paying taxes. So we want to know where our money is going. If you cannot give us service delivery, then they must step down, step aside, let people who can run the country and put it on its track. This country was the third best city in the world. We want to bring it back to that, the third best city in the world again.
Looking at the message here, Faisal says, Assalamu alaikum. Great chat with Ahmed Farak, Chef. Keep up the good work. He says, is it true, Ahmed Farak, that more than 200 South African firefighters are helping to battle the massive wildfires in Canada? They are so good that they are being exported to fight other places, the fires. But when the fires are burning here in Guguleto and Khayelitsha and on the John Dolls, they find it difficult. Ahmed, how you respond to Faisal here?
Yeah? Shafat, all our superstars, firefighters and everyone, even in now teachers, doctors, nurses, paramedics, all leaving our shore. You know, anywhere you go in the world, you go to Dubai, you go to Saudi, you go to, especially in the UK, America. Why are they taking only our doctors, our teachers? Why they are taking all our superstars from here and they're making a killing that side for themselves? They're earning good money. They're earning in dollars. They're earning in euros. But they're comfortable there. And these institutions are taking South African because we have got the best method in the world in terms of universities and everything else, because there's no work here for them. They're wasting their time because half the time we don't have the equipment to go and put a fire off. So that is the reason they say why we must break our head here, rather go overseas. And that's it. And all these other countries are benefiting all our top artisans from here.
I'm making a good point there, Ahmed. And recently, there were these subcontractors, you know, that lost their contracts because they did a substandard job. But they were holding, some members of the Itikweni, you know, of the engineering department, you know, locking them up behind gates and that. What's the latest on that, Ahmed?
Shafat, you know what they do is, you see, because ideally in the old days and the municipality, we had our own infrastructure. We had our own vehicles. We had our own engineers. We had our own artisans. When there was an electrical problem, you phone them. They come there. They come and fix it up. They're done. Now, because of all our top artisans have already left the country, they're going over for greener pastures overseas. They're no longer here. That's why Eskom is suffering so much, because all the top knob, all the guys who knew about Eskom and how they set Eskom up properly to generate the power for this country, they all left. And oh, they got rid of them. Then they brought people there who did not know what to do. So all these people are going. Now you bring guys that don't know how big stuff, guys. They don't know what they are doing. And they're putting them into this work here. And therefore, we cannot do service delivery. So what the government is doing now, they outsource. Now, take outsource, Shafat. 1 hour's work, they'll take 6 hours. Now, how many? You're not paying for 1 hour anymore. You're paying for 6 hours. This is the problem that we are faced with. There's nothing you can do. And a team starts at 6 in the morning, finishes at 2. That guy is now waiting. There's a big, massive breakage in one of the roads. Now, they go there. They're going to assess it. They open a little bit. They say, no. Now we need a TLB. In the whole city, we only got maybe 2 TLB. By the time now, he started at 6 in the morning. He finished at 2. Now the next shift came. He came there now. He said, no, now we're also waiting for the TLB. The TLB, now the 2 to 10 guys waited right till 10 o'clock. Nothing happened because he was assigned to do that job. So he had to now leave. So now the 10 to 6 shift came. Now the TLB came at 11 at night. How many people got paid for Mahala now, Shafa? Two groups of people from 6 to 2 got paid and 2 to 10 got paid. Now there's a third shift guy came at 10 to 6. The third shift guy, they'll also get 3 shift people getting paid for 1 hour's job, and that's where the problem is, Shafat. We're throwing away money. So you know what? Throwing away money or burning the money, that's what we are saying at the moment.
No, Ahmed, you know, it's absolutely true what you say. And when you look around you, you find them most of the time. It's sad, you know, allegedly most of them are eating lunchtime. They have lunchtime from, I don't know, 10 o'clock to 5 o'clock, Allahu Alam. But there's a message here from Tahir. He says, Ahmed Parak, you very eloquently on your earlier shows spoke about bringing youth politicians and brainstorming to get them into politics. But Ahmed, I want to tell you that the ANC is a closed shop. It's only for Africans only. And then when you find the DA is a white man's party, but they have token individuals here, there, and everywhere. And it seems even the EFF is also in one color mode only. It seems as if in South Africa we have a problem. The youth politicians, we are not getting quality youth politicians into these different structures. They are all compromised. They're dictated to, and it seems they have a one mind track only, that is to loot and to steal. Ahmad, please address this issue. How can you fix it? Ahmad, that's a good question from Tahir. Your response?
Very, very good question from Tahir. Number one, if you take the Tigwini municipality, 96 seats the ANC got. Not one Indian, not one white, not one colored in the party in the Tigwini municipality. If you take the DA, they got colored Indians, black, everything, and then they got, what they do is, to do a window dressing, they make the chief whip a black man. They'll put in key position the chairperson as a white man. But who's running the show? The white man is still running the show. I'm not being racist or anything yet. That is just the window dressing side of it. But if you take action and say, we believe in one thing, Shafat, is if you take ANC previously from Mandela's time, who fought the NIC and you take Ahmed Kathrada, all the old people went into exile. They went and fought for the ANC. They were in government. Jay Naidu, all these guys. Today, who you see there? There's only maybe one or two Indians. I don't even think there's any Indians in the ANC in parliament now. I'm not sure about that. But the thing is this, the long and the short is we are the only party, Action SA, we believe in unity, number one. Secondly, we make sure that we bring all culture, color, creed, race, religion into our party. It's not a black man's party. It's not an Indian's party, colored, white. It is a multiracial party, and that's how we, if you take our result in the six municipality in 21 election, only six municipality, we got 96 seats in the six municipality, and it's a newborn party. To get 96 seats, it's a big plus factor. Take in my case, Shafat, I went on the 28th of September, 2021. I joined Action SA. On the 1st of November was election. I only had groundwork for 6 weeks. Shafat, in Itigwini municipality, I was elected. I was number three on the list because they wanted me there to make a difference. And there was no, the people were before me. But Herman Mashaba said, no, this man need to get in there because he will bring change to our party and it will be an asset to our party. And based on that, I was given the position. And today, Shafat, you won't believe it, within 7 days of joining Action SA on the 28th of September, within 7 days, I was appointed Operations Director of KZN for Action SA. And up to today, I hold the position of this province as the Operations Director of Action SA.
Yeah, alhamdulillah, Allah bless you for that. And, you don't only talk, but you walk the talk. And, many of our listeners tell me that. And, mashallah, keep it up, Ahmad, because you have helped many people. And Allah keep you for that. Talking about they have this youth politician brainstorming and all this. How important it is for us to, keep on this and to motivate youngsters to get into it. And, Ahmad, how can one break through this mindset of the ANC? Why are you keeping it one, or one color only? Why are you, you spoke about the rainbow nation. You're no more rainbow. What's the thinking behind that, Ahmad?
Shafat, there's a new caliber of politician in the ANC. Those old caliber of politicians are all gone. And they work them out completely out of the ANC. And this new caliber, they're saying it is they. ANC is a black-orientated political party, and we did nothing. And that's why you will find there's no more that previously people from the Indian community, coloreds, who were joining the ANC. Today, they don't join ANC. They want a home. And when people want a home, there's only one party at the moment, and we're moving. If you take, we went to Nongoma. It is a, you know, if I don't know if Shafati, if you have been to Nongoma in Zululand. And if you go to Nongoma in Zululand, it is heart of a rural area. Mm-hmm. We didn't have no groundwork, nothing. We only spent there 6 weeks. And we said, you know what, let's try and test the waters in a complete rural area where we unknown brand. Let's go there and do the house, the door to door. Let's go and do our housekeeping there. Let's go and campaign there. We campaigned there for 6 weeks of Shafa. We got 10.2% in the heart of the rural area, right into the rural area in Nongoma. And you know, Shafa, you know where you stay, one house is where you are, and the other house is by Talimuddin Madrasa, 2-3 kilometers apart. That's how we went. 1 kilometer, 1.5 kilometers, 2 kilometers, you walk. We did door to door. And when you went and met those people, Shafat, when you find a woman standing up, what you do? You get up, you give her your chair. Or you're in a bus, when you are sitting, a woman walks in and there's no seat, you will get up, you make her sit, and you'll stand. When you go into a heart of rural area like Nongoma, if a woman is sitting, she will get up, she will tell you to sit down. You say, no, ma, you sit. You say, no. You are my visitor, you must sit. That's out. And the respect I got, Shafat, I spent 2-3 days in the heart of Nongoma. The respect I got, I have never got respect anywhere in the country like how I got the respect from the Zulu people in Nongoma, Shafat. I was shocked, taken aback.
You know, Ahmad, perhaps the point you're making is bring back the chiefs, bring up back the tribal system. And, you know, you can keep the youth on the straight and narrow. And perhaps, you know, they're losing the cultural identity. And that's why the youth are running a racket, you know, succumbing to drugs and alcoholism and so forth. Ahmad, are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, Shafat, you see all of those people that are in rural areas, and you saw, now you'll see all Smith Street, West Street, all these areas have now, buildings have become like flats and all that. They're living in this, in apartments and everything here in Durban and surrounding, because more people came away to the city. Once they came to the city, the culture was lost, the respect was lost. They're into drugs, they're into murder, they're into robbery, and all that has started. Previously, you never had that. The people that came from the rural area, they were respectable people, they were honest people, they were upright people. That's what we were getting. No more now. Now when they join all these riffraffs and all that, they become like them. That's the problem we are faced with.
Ahmad, what a beautiful morning in your company. The time really flew, and information, you know, A+. Your parting words this morning?
Shafat, all those brothers and sisters who are running from the down run from Peter Marisburg to Durban, I wish them all the best, because, you know, there's a lot of our own people are running. In fact, a friend of mine last year, I kept his name 10 seconds. He just pulled the line, Shafat, in 10 seconds. 10 seconds, you know what 10 seconds is. He just pulled the line. He just put his body out of the line, and he just made it, and he got a bronze medal. And I, when I meet him in the mosque, and I asked him, "You going this year?" He said, no. I told him 10. I kept his name 10 seconds. He just made it in 10 seconds. So, you know, you will find today how the people drag themselves just to make it from the Marisburg to Durban. And it's a good down run, but he says it's also very big, also very taxing, because down run, you put a lot of pressure to your knees and all as well. But I wish them all the best, whoever make it there. It is something to be, to when you go there, I don't know if Shafat, you have been there, like this morning, I went there, the atmosphere there, It is buzzing. You go, I put up a gazebo by 44th day, and you will, when you go there, the atmosphere, although the people, the first runner will come around about 10:30 around there, and you the feeling, the atmosphere is unbelievable, Shafat.
No, brilliant indeed, Ahmed. And yeah, you captured everything this morning. Allah keep you, Allah bless you. And you have a mashallah beautiful day ahead, Ahmed. And we'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.